What is up, sportscast? Welcome to the Sports and Stuff Show, the Kings of Sports. I'm Adam.
And I'm Carter.
And let's get right into it.
Awesome.
Okay. Updates? Do we have any?
I don't think we do have any updates.
Episode 43. I don't think we have, like, I mean, we have the one TikTok that went pretty well. I mean, it's so weird with TikTok because it goes, like, in waves, like, our, like, sometimes they get, like, a ton of, like, flooding views.
Yeah.
And then all the time, like, sometimes they just kind of go, like, mid. Like, right now, I think it's kind of at, like, 1,000-ish, like, mm-hmm. which is pretty decent, but still growing, still doing great, I guess. Yeah, I mean, other than that, update on the interview, still, for the guest.
Working on it.
Still working on it. I mean, we still really want it. It's just Boise State has kind of been so chaotic right now. I don't know if they're really, like, a fan of, like, having, like, open interviews right. with players. That's kind of the issue. So, yeah, we're kind of battling that. But we'll get into their issues in a bit. But, yeah, I don't think we have any other updates. But good to be
Not
back.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. All right.
Card?
Oh, did we start the card before, like, the...
Nah, we can wait.
Okay.
All right, well, let's jump into the first thing here, which is the ever-chaotic Boise State.
Woo! Man.
So, we lost to UTEP. Sorry, let me rephrase that. We got blown out by UTEP.
Yep.
I went camping on Friday night, so I didn't watch any of the game.
I did, trust me. Let's just say I'm glad I got paid to watch that game.
Let's just say I'm glad I didn't watch the game.
Yeah. Man.
I still haven't watched the game. I can't bring myself to do it, so I don't know a ton. What I do know is Hank threw 35 passes and had
93 yards.
93 yards, which is, like, I've never seen that in my life. I saw the scoring review. There were some big plays allowed by the defense again. I'm
yep.
assuming there were blown coverages.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, lost to UTEP. Silver lining, Tim Plow got fired afterwards, which, mm-hmm. you know, like, needed to happen. It's way overdue. So, Dirk Cutter as OC. He was obviously the head coach for Boise State for a while, and he bounced around the NFL a little bit, and now he's back as the offensive coordinator. Another big domino that fell after the UTEP loss was Hank Bachmeier entered the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's going to transfer. Paving the way for Talen Green to start this week and
Talen time
and probably the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And Hank is going to redshirt this year and have two more years of eligibility, which is insane. I can't believe he has two more years, but I have no idea where he's going to go. Like, I don't even have a guess.
Well, the weird thing is that, like, obviously he's not going to go to, like, I don't think he's going to go to, like, a Boise State kind of caliber team.
I wouldn't think so.
Like, so I think you could roll out certain teams. Like, I think you could roll out any Pac-12 team. I think you could roll out some Mountain West teams as well.
I think you can rule out pretty much any Power 5 school.
Imagine if he went to, like, Utah State or something. Like,
Utah. Honestly, a Mountain West school wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay, what I think...
Mountain West or, like, a MAC school or something.
I think he might, like, try Cal or something. I could kind of see that, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, Portland State or...
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
That's a pretty big step down.
Yeah. But. I mean, we'll kind of have to see. I mean, there was, like, there's talks about last year where, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, like, Riley Smith, he was talking about, like, talking to Boston College
mm-hmm.
because of, like, the Brian Harsin thing. And I was kind of thinking, what if he waits until Tim Plow decides to go somewhere before he goes there as well? Like, what if he, like, follows? I could kind of see that.
Following Tim Plow would be insane, but...
I could probably see him doing that, though. Especially with, like, how Tim Plow was, like, vouching for him and everything, and he already kind of knows his offense. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that could be an option, I guess, but what the see. And, man, can I just say how we just, like, straight up bullied Hank out of Boise State? Like,
he really did.
I kind of feel bad for him. Like,
I definitely feel bad.
Yeah, like, dude, he... So he went from hometown hero, where he went from starting against Florida State, absolutely getting trashed on by their D-line. Like, their D-line obliterated him. Like, he had so many heavy hits. Like, the whole first year, he was, like, battling injuries because he just, like, kept on getting hit after hit. And then his sophomore year, it was like a COVID year, so that just kind of screwed everyone over.
Yeah.
And then last year, they weren't really bought into him, so he went over a, like a quarterback competition battle with Jack Sears, and that was a big thing. And then even this year, they still weren't really sold on him, but it was also with Tim Plow in his first year and kind of like, you know, Tim Plow. And Tim Plow, we've kind of already said, he wasn't really the best offensive coordinator, so that might have been as well. I think it was kind of just a bad scenario. I mean, I don't think Hank is, like, as bad to get booed off of, like...
No, definitely not.
Like, especially after he got injured. Like, that's ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Dude, come on. But it's so strange. I mean, I feel like if things would have gone, like, in a certain way, he definitely would have stayed, and maybe, like, if one domino effect didn't happen, then none of this would have happened. Like, man, I don't even know.
Think about last season, like, the couple games that could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
Like, the UCF game, if you pull that one out, and then the Oklahoma State game, if they don't rule that fumble dead for some stupid reason, and then if you don't blow the lead to San Diego State, that's an 11-1 season or something, maybe 10-2.
Like, yeah, and then we're ranked.
Like, you're one play away from, like, in three different games from being a ranked team going into a really good bowl game with him as quarterback. So, and if he did that, there's no way this would be happening this year, regardless of how good or bad he played. Which it's just crazy to think about, like, how close we were to such a different situation.
Yeah, and that was the whole talking point that I kept on saying last year was I was like, we were so close. And I mean, this is the thing, too, is that you kind of see this all over. Horrible coaching can make a really good team and a really good players look bad. And really bad coaching, or no, really good coaching can make really good coaching can make a bad team look really good, and a really bad coaching can make a really good team look bad.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to be honest,
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah. That's what I was like. And if I'm going to be honest, I don't know if Andy Avalos is like the move.
I don't know. I think it's a little early for that.
I think
I want to see what the offense looks like with a new OC. I think that was my main issue with Avalos, is honestly just keeping Plow around.
Well, even if, like, and I'm kind of saying, like, this is my kind of argument, even with the defense hasn't looked as good as it should have been. And how it's been hyped up.
It's weird because they play really well, but then there's always a few plays a game where just everyone just messes up. Like, yeah, at the same time. Like, it's a complete blown coverage or something like that.
And I've also heard, like, so it felt weird because Tim was kind of trying to throw the blame on Andy, and Andy was trying to throw the blame on Tim.
Always great when no one takes responsibility.
Yeah, and it's like, because Tim Plow was saying he's just running the offense how... like, Andy Avalos wanted it. And he was like, okay. He's like, it's not my offense I kind of wanted to run, but which seems kind of like a cop-out. And I've heard some things, like, Andy does have, tries to make a whole say on the offense, even though he's a defensive coach. So there's that. But the thing is now is that I think, like, Andy Avalos is on the hot seat now because there's no one else that he could pass the blame on to if it is his fault. Because I don't think you can blame... like Dirk Cutter with like his kind of resume and with Boise State for like, you know, failure. I don't think he'll be able to slide away after this point. I think, you know, the mob of Boise State fans is going to turn to Andy Avalos very shortly if they still continue to not do great.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess he would kind of be on the hot seat just because it kind of feels like you need a complete revamp of the program at this point. Like, has there been a worse loss than that in the program's history?
I don't think so.
Like, I mean, not that I know.
Maybe
of.
Until like 2011 or something. But like,
seriously,
and like, okay, let me just, no need to toot my own horn, but I was saying from the beginning of the year, Talen was going to start some point this season. Knew it was going to happen, 100%. I even wrote an article about how Boise State was going to underperform and how all the coaches were alluding to how they were probably going to suck because they knew that even though, but they had to like hide it because they knew that if they sucked, they were going to fail to sell tickets. And that was the whole thing.
I miss Khalil, man.
The thing is, too, though, is that now they made the right decision with going with the fans, because this is what you got to kind of understand Boise State, and I've understood them to where they right now, and we've talked about this.
Yeah,
they've been they're so desperate to stay relevant because Idaho is, you know, not like a California or Florida or Texas or
to say the least,
like, you know, a bigger market. Boise State has a really, just Boise in general and Idaho has a really small sports market. So if the Boise State football team does not do good, then they just lose all, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And especially when compared to San Diego State, where San Diego State is in, if they're doing well in the number one in the Mountain West, it's so much like easier for them because they're in California.
They're
in
not
San
good
Diego,
either, but,
like,
yeah.
You know, but like in the previous years and everything. And like,
dude, it might be Air Force.
I know.
Air Force might be the team to beat in this conference.
Well, okay.
Which is insane.
Like,
although they lost to Wyoming.
I think, okay, if I'm going to be honest, I think we're going to be on an upward, you know, trend after.
I hope so.
I really think so. I think, going back to the whole thing where Boise State's so desperate for attention, I had a very big feeling that they were going to fire Tim Plow. I did not think they were going to do it 24 hours like before, like within 24 hours of the loss.
I think that was kind of disrespectful.
Right, like,
I disagree. I think that was the right move.
Within 24 hours, like,
yes.
Literally. So like the timeline.
What's the point in waiting?
They like, you know, that was like on Saturday, like in the beginning of Saturday, they like fired him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's kind of like a, you know, like a thing.
Dude,
like,
they put up 10 points against UTEP.
Yeah, I mean,
it's deserved.
I still feel like they should have waited at least to like. I don't know.
I don't think but, so. I think they should have fired him that night.
Man, like, well, they probably did because if they, like, had time to process it. But it's so crazy. And
they had to have known it was
coming. The whole Talen thing, I 100% think that Talen was going to start, and they told Hank that Talen was going to start. That's why they're like, you can seek a transfer portal if you want, because we're going to start Talen. That's how it's
going
to be.
I agree. I think that's probably what happened.
And, I mean, I think... I was kind of like, I think everyone could kind of put the puzzle pieces together that it didn't make sense for Hank to start if they were going to make that move of getting rid of Tim Plow. I think it was kind of a thing like, you're either going to stick with Tim Plow and Hank or you're going to go with Cutter and Talen. I think that was kind of how it was. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. And I think fans are excited.
San Diego State's leading receiver has 68 yards.
68?
I did not realize that.
What?
That's Dude. Insane. Okay, anyway.
I think, if I'm going to be honest, well, I think from, like, the tickets sold out so early, that was kind of, like, very, like, first.
I ended up getting one.
You ended up getting one?
There's like, 200 left.
Like, I think it's going to be interesting to see, because I think fans are going to be super excited and show up a ton for this game just because of Talen.
Well, okay. I mean, it's Talen, it's new play calling, and it's San Diego State. Like,
that's a big
rival.
This is a really good opportunity for Boise State.
Absolutely.
I don't think we're going to screw this up, if I'm going to be honest.
If you put on a show against one of
your... You're back.
Would you say San Diego State's our biggest rival?
One of the biggest ones.
I would say in conference.
They whooped us last year, and it was kind of like... embarrassing.
But like football, basketball.
I think BYU is kind of a little bit more up there, though.
So I think in conference, San Diego State is our biggest rival. So if you can put on a show against your biggest conference rival in your first conference home game with a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator, that's a very positive direction for the team. Well, like the momentum you can get from a big win here, I can't even overstate. This game is going to determine the rest of the season.
This is huge.
This game,
100%.
I know it's only week five.
This is it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Week five.
This is the season.
This is it. Right here.
However this game goes, I 100% believe is how the season will go.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a chance to turn it around here. I've been very skeptical about Talen, specifically his throwing abilities.
Who do we play? Like, do we play any like bigger competition?
BYU at home. We play Air Force, Fresno State, who are both solid. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
The rest of the teams are pretty bad. San Diego State's not good. Nevada, Wyoming, and Utah State aren't very good. It's not a hard schedule at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we did just lose to UTEP. So
hypothetically, if we get this game, we win out, convincingly win out, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an argument that we do get ranked like eventually, or like,
oh,
even like,
yeah,
25.
10
like,
and 2 with a win over BYU would absolutely be ranked, mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, even like Utah, like last year, they were like, they were 7 and 3, but they won out like their,
yeah, but,
last.
I mean, they're Pac-12.
But they,
and,
yeah,
they beat,
and they also
they beat
Oregon
the piss out of
twice.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think this could be a really good opportunity. And plus, Hank last year, or his first year, we had so much hype, especially him as a true freshman, like, went to Florida State.
Yeah, he was a huge recruit.
He was, like, everyone was hyped up that year,
yeah,
because of Hank. Everyone loved Hank at that point, and that's what won him over, like,
oh, for sure,
for the hometown hero type
of
thing.
Big,
was,
that's a big deal. Like, mm-hmm, it makes sense.
Well, and then
I get why people would, yeah, be attached to him. For me, like, it's different. I didn't care about Boise State at all until I came here last year. So, mm-hmm, like, I had no attachment to any of the players until I got here. And I think that a lot of students are like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all defending the booing him. Like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that's the explanation for it. The students don't have the same attachment as a lot of the fans do.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like
the media.
I feel like that might not be an issue for Talen, because I feel like Talen's an easy person to get behind.
He's exciting.
Because, you know, he's 6'6", 220.
Yeah. I mean, like
he runs.
Right.
Like, that's an electric player. And,
like
you
I was
can
saying,
get behind him.
Like, I'm skeptical about him. Like, I don't like his throwing motion. I'm not sure how I feel about him at a D1 college level yet. But he's so raw. Like, he's so new to Boise State football that, like, it's unreasonable to make a conclusion about him already. So,
yeah,
he is an athlete. He is a good and smart runner. So if he can, like, he doesn't even need to be amazing throwing the ball. If he can start hitting the layups and tighten up his motion, like,
yeah,
he has a chance to be a stud. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I'm excited for
him. I'm excited. I'm really hyped.
Like, we know what we're getting out of Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for better or for worse, you know what you're getting.
Well,
out,
yeah,
of Talen, you have no idea. And that's exciting. I think that'll sell tickets. That'll, mm-hmm, give the team and the fans some hope. And it could win some games. I think we'll see.
Well, and that's like, that's from what I'm picturing now and what I've kind of like expected is Talen. Well, he has an arm, like he has a rocket. I mean, it may not be accurate,
he just has to control it.
Yeah, like he can sling it.
And I, my hope is that he can tighten up and shorten his throwing motion and still keep that level of arm strength,
mm-hmm,
because it's way too long.
Yeah.
And good D lines are going to bat those passes down all day, all night. So,
mm-hmm,
good corners are going to be able to read that. Like,
yeah,
as I'm sure, like, you played corner. Like, if a guy takes a second and a half to throw the ball, like, it's
well,
it's
it gives you time
easy,
because then the receiver doesn't know and they put their hands out too early.
Right.
And that's a clear sign where you just swat it. Like,
yeah. So he has a lot to clean up and adjust, but he's so young and so new that you can't hold that against him. I think this season we just have to kind of sit back and see,
mm-hmm,
what happens and hope that he gets better over the course of the season and over the off season and into next year. But
yeah,
but like I said, the season's,
well, if he was able to put a run on you, like Oregon State,
right,
with no preparation whatsoever.
He had a couple good throws.
Yeah, and like the thing with Talen,
a couple bad
is
ones,
he seems like he's a, and this is kind of like, this is not a bad thing, where you could either hit a home run or whiff, like,
right,
really bad.
For sure.
And the home runs go great.
Got to start hitting some singles.
Yeah, like, and that's what makes you sort of like a well-rounded player.
Right.
Is, and that's the thing with,
that's
like,
what makes you a quarterback.
Allen. Yeah.
That's what makes,
like,
you a quarterback and not just an athlete.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing Josh Allen is still working on perfecting, is hitting
Josh
those, like,
Allen.
Yeah, in the NFL.
I think he's got it down.
Well, he's still like, that was like his whole thing that he was trying to improve.
I think he's, yeah, he was
like,
for sure.
Because he would hit
that's
a home
run. That's what he was
run,
struggling on earlier.
And he would completely suck. And then home run, suck. And that's kind of like the Brett Favre kind of thing.
I don't think that's
like,
where it is anymore, but for years,
that's
where
I think he still has turnover issues sometimes. And that's his kind of thing,
really?
That he's struggling with. Yeah, I think he, like, sometimes he kind of forces the ball sometimes, but, I mean, he's still highly praised. Someone that the whole
I think he's the best quarterback
Bills
in the
Mafia
league.
Could like get around. I don't know if he's the best.
I think he has as good an argument as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could see that, but
anyway,
I think, you know, you could clearly get around Josh Allen, and people who aren't even Bills fans are huge fans of Josh Allen. Yeah, I know. I have a Josh Allen jersey.
That's
too.
Me. he's one of my favorite players for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a like up there. Like he's probably almost every single, like, top five at least for everyone's favorite players.
I mean, how could you not like him?
Yeah. Like,
he's funny. He's fun to watch. He's incredible.
He's big. He could throw it.
Yeah.
He can, Like, he's probably, like, the most entertaining and most exciting player to watch. And he makes the Bills so exciting to watch.
Definitely up there.
Like, I don't – and I think, like, that's the potential that Talen could have. Like, I mean, he could completely go out there and suck.
Like, on a smaller scale. Yeah,
like, you know, but he could be that type of thing. And
I think of a good comparison for that.
And Boise State's, like – I mean, even though we kind of are sucking right now, Boise State is still, like, a pretty, like, notorious D1 school. In a sense,
it's a well-known program.
Yeah, like
I would say, of the group of five, is there a bigger and better known program?
Yeah, like I don't think there is.
I don't think so.
Or at least for the last like decade or so, we've been the most consistent, like, be good. At the end, right now, we've kind of strayed away a little bit. But
the new decade, the '20s, has been
we were ranked fourth at some points, like second. I think our highest was second, like that we got ranked or something, like
nationally.
Yeah,
yeah. Kellen Moore, like, bro. Coach us, please,
dude. That'd be like crazy if like
that would be he came.
There's no way.
No,
because he's gonna going get for, an, he's probably going for Dallas Cowboys NFL, head coach.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, like I don't. I mean,
but it would be so cool.
I know, dude. If he had him,
dude, he would be like he's already top 10. Such a legend here. Could you imagine if he came back and coached?
Man,
dude, it'd be insane.
That's crazy. I'm surprised that Dirk kind of went back. Like, I'm surprised, like, he went backwards.
It wasn't really working out that much in the NFL, so I guess I get it.
That's no shot at him.
Like, if you're coaching at any point in the NFL, like, you obviously know what you're doing to some capacity. But
I'm kind of hyped. I'm really hyped. But
yeah, so as we said, you got Talen and Dirk Cutter heading at home against San Diego State. Hopefully we can start the conference play at home off right, and mm-hmm. Even though we're 2-2, we're still tied for first in our division in the conference because we're 1-0 in conference play. So,
mm-hmm.
like, this is as important as out-of-conference games are for, like, rankings and stuff. This is really where the season starts.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. But, So, let's move on to some general college football.
Mm-hmm.
The new top 25 came out, as it,
even look at this yet.
As it always does. Mm-hmm. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan on top as usual. No movement there. Also no movement with Clemson rounding out the top five, which is a little surprising because Clemson almost lost to Wake Forest in an incredible game.
I don't know if I'm really sold on Clemson.
Good. College football is so good. But, yeah. So, dude, some other notable things.
App State
is crazy. Like, they're like a movie.
Dude, 28-3.
It's just insane.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah. So, Tennessee clocks in at number 8. They haven't been top 10 in forever, and they beat Florida at home. Incredible game. High scoring. Hendon Hooker versus Anthony Richardson. They were both bawling out. It was awesome game. Tennessee pulls it out. They're 4-0, top 10. They look good.
I have a friend that goes to Tennessee.
I would love to go to Tennessee.
He's so hyped.
That's awesome.
Like, he...
Dude, their environment. Did you see their stadium on Saturday?
Yeah.
You know how we tried to stripe the stadium?
Yeah, they...
That was how you stripe a stadium. That was insane.
Yeah. And I remember at first, like, I was like, dude, Tennessee? And then, like, now... Because he was originally going to go to Boise State with me.
Yeah.
And we were both going to go to Boise State, but then his family ended up going to Tennessee, and he ended up just following them.
You get that in-state tuition in Tennessee.
Yeah. And he got
hard to turn that down.
He's in Tennessee, so he's probably living it up there.
Knoxville is crazy.
We're both big football fans, so he's probably living it up right now.
Yeah, for sure. Some other notable things. NC State is top 10. Who saw that coming?
Wow.
I didn't. I know that. Yeah, they move up from 12 to 10. UW is consistently moving up. They look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas drops from 10 to 20 after doinking a game-winning field goal against Texas A&M, which is insane. Oklahoma drops from 6 to 18 after getting upset by newly ranked number 25, Kansas State. Florida State enters the rankings at 23. And, yeah, I think those are most of the notable things, other than I would say Kansas is not ranked. And I really want them to be ranked. Rank Kansas. Just do it.
Man,
they're 4-0. Okay. They have some good wins. Everyone's rooting for them. Rank Kansas, you cowards.
I really think Oregon State should be ranked. They almost pulled it out against USC. It was like 14-17.
Yeah, I guess.
I really think that if...
I don't think you can rank them, though. I don't think
that's what happened to Texas. Texas almost like
Texas lost by one to Alabama. That's a little different than losing to USC.
Yeah, Texas, but we almost like they almost beat USC. Yeah, and it was only
Alabama
a 3-point game.
Is so much better than USC. It's different.
Yeah, but if USC's seventh, like I don't
Texas
think,
also did that with their backup quarterback.
I really think that at least they should be 25. Like
I don't think
they should be ranked. I think they should be ranked.
I wouldn't put them over Florida. I wouldn't put them over Kansas. I wouldn't put them over Syracuse.
I don't know about
I wouldn't
Florida.
Put them over Wazoo, honestly. I would take Wazoo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I think they'd beat Florida.
I would keep them
I 100% think they'd beat Florida.
Zero
100%.
Chance. 100%. Zero chance Oregon State beats Florida. 100%.
No way. A hundo.
AR-15 would put up 800 yards in that game. That would be Cap. That would be they would do to Oregon State worse than Oregon State did to us. That would be
I doubt it. I highly doubt
that. It would
that.
Be disgusting television to watch.
I doubt that. I mean, I think if I'm going to be honest,
those SEC schools are
I'm not buying it at Florida, if I'm going to be honest.
Look, they're not amazing. I'm not saying that. I just think
Oregon State would surprise them.
I think that Florida is it's just another level of talent than Oregon State has. They're just so much better.
We'll have to see, but
they could not contain AR-15.
I think that would be an interesting game to watch. I really think that Oregon State
would be shocked if it was less than a 25-point win. But either way, college football's absolutely nuts. And yeah, I mean that's really all there is to say.
Man.
Yeah. The same faces are leading the pack still so far, but I don't know. I mean, with the way things are going, like
probably going to stay the same. I mean,
I don't know.
See much movement.
I think one of the top five will get upset pretty soon here. I would think. Like
okay, who do you think is going to be the most likely to get upset of the top five or top
I'd have to look at the schedules. I don't really know. Michigan almost lost this week. And so Clemson.
I think Ohio State's probably the most likely to get upset.
I would say Clemson is.
Clemson?
I think Clemson is definitely the worst team.
Top five. Like, top four, I meant.
Top four? So
it's Michigan.
Georgia, Bama, Georgia. Ohio State, Michigan.
I think actually maybe Bama
Michigan.
Or Ohio State.
I would say Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Alabama almost got upset.
They have significantly the worst quarterback. I think just all around roster, they're probably the worst, which is crazy because they're an amazing roster, but yeah, I think they're the worst team, so I would say that they almost got upset last week, so I'll just go with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's college football. All right, on to some NFL. So one of the big headlines is Tua, who by the way is playing very well.
Yeah, I mean,
like we were still kind of hating on him after his crazy performance against Baltimore.
Yeah,
and this one wasn't even nearly that. But
he threw six touchdowns.
I'm kind of believing in him. Like he looks good. I don't know.
I still can't find myself to wrap my head around.
I know it's hard for me, but like faith
in him.
They have a decent running back duo. It's okay. They have two excellent wide receivers. Mike McDaniel
he's doing good.
Mike McDaniel's awesome.
That's my biggest thing.
I didn't think he was going to be that good.
Me neither.
He was OC for San Francisco, but he wasn't even calling plays. I was thinking, like, what was he actually doing? But he has shut me up in a big way, and Tua's playing well. But anyway, Tua got knocked down on a late hit by Matt Milano it was the first half of the game yesterday against the Bills. And they're trying to say it was a back injury. His head hit really hard on the turf, and he got up, wobbled around, fell down, got up, wobbled around again, and fell down again, and then went back to the locker room, and then returned. So the NFLPA is investigating the Dolphins about how they handled him and the concussion protocol and all that. He definitely had a concussion.
100%.
There's no chance that he did.
There's no
You don't
way
do that for a back injury.
Yeah.
How stupid do they?
Yeah, right.
So I would assume that it's just going to be a slap on the wrist. They'll probably get fined, but the NFL went hard on the Dolphins for the Sean Payton, Tom Brady thing. Like, they took a first-round pick from him.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But, yeah, Tua...
Punish the Dolphins here.
Tua playing well, playing through injury, and beating the Bills. Like, that's...
Man.
He's shutting me up. I have nothing to say bad about Tua right now. Like, anyway.
Like, and even... I don't even know. I mean, I definitely did not... Even to the very end, I did not think the... the Dolphins were going to win that game.
Oh, not at all.
100%. Okay. I thought the Bills were going to come back.
I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. I think he played absolutely incredible yesterday, and he's going to be an MVP multiple times. He missed such an easy touchdown throw to go ahead with like a minute left in the game. Dude was wide open in the end zone, and he just skipped it to him. It was bad. It was bad. And then the last play of the game, the receiver went idiot mode. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Just get out of bounds. Just get out of bounds.
Yeah, that was rough.
And I'm sure you saw the offensive coordinator raging. In the that was hilarious.
That was so funny.
If you want to see a visual representation of me when a fantasy team loses or when the Niners lose, watch
during that play.
Yeah.
Man, like, it was funny because it looked like, well, he looked so awkward doing it too. That made it funny.
It was so funny.
Because he was just like.
And then he like broke the camera. He like threw something at the camera and it went black.
Well, it was like he wanted to break stuff, but he also didn't. So he was like.
Oh, I know
partial.
That feeling. So I know funny. That feeling. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Me against the 49ers last year.
Yeah.
Man, in the playoffs.
Yeah. There was another sewage leak at FedEx Field.
Dude. Just cancel the whole stadium.
Just get
cancel
them out. Get a,
cancel
get them
the
out.
Commanders. Just rebrand
Move
completely.
Move them to St. Louis,
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City should not be above St. Louis.
Salt Lake City.
Whatever.
It's better than Washington at this point. Anything.
Okay, but St. Louis. I think if any team, if any place in the country should get an NFL team, it's St. Louis.
I feel like it's boring.
St. Louis and San Diego.
I really think it's boring.
San Diego should have a team.
I'm fine with San Diego.
The Chargers should go back to San Diego.
Yeah,
100%. I don't know what they're doing.
100%.
Anyway. Yeah, another sewage leak. There's not really much to say. They're a poverty franchise. They have a poverty stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's always. I feel like these always like come out when they play against the Eagles, too.
Yeah, they got absolutely smoked by the Eagles. Like 24-8 doesn't even do justice to how much of a blowout it was.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk about this?
Yep.
Okay.
Jimmy G. Woo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, in my opinion.
Jim VP.
Let me back this up. That was the worst play in NFL history. Ever. Like, ever. Dan Orlovsky ran further out the back of the end zone. I understand. And he ran out for longer. Dan Orlovsky also didn't throw a pick six right after it. You take a play action snap in your own end zone, drop back 5 steps, and then take 2 more back and step out of bounds. And you're so bad that somehow stepping out of bounds for a safety was the better option of the 2 things you did, because then you threw a pick six to a linebacker. An edge rusher. It was Bradley Chubb. Oh my God, it was the worst play I've ever seen in my life. And we lost by 1. You ran out of the back of the end zone in a 1-point loss. It was the most stupid thing I've ever seen on a football field. And I have watched Jimmy Garoppolo play for 5 years. I watched Dan Orlovsky run out of the back of the end zone. I watched people not run out of bounds. I have watched so much football in my life. And that was the stupidest thing I have ever seen. It was so, so bad. It somehow overshadows the pathetic 59 other minutes that you played, because you had the biggest blunder in the history of the sport. That was worse than the butt fumble. That was just so bad. You cost us the game in every single Trey, please. Please heal. I need you back. I miss you so bad already.
God.
Okay. All right. I'm done. We're done with Jimmy Garoppolo. Well,
it's even so funny.
We're done.
No, well, it's even funnier that like Jimmy
that
G
good.
Is that bad, but that shows how good the 49ers are to where
Dude,
they still can have Jimmy G play
points.
That bad.
We gave up 9
still,
points to the Broncos at home.
Like, there's still like that Jimmy G's that bad and the 49ers are that good that literally they can still lose by only 1 point.
That
like
was,
man.
That felt good.
That's
a good one. I'm sure that's going to be clipped.
Yep, 100%. I was thinking, I'm like, man, it's going to be like cutting back and forth from me like dying of laughing, and then you just straight up yelling straight into the mic.
Anyway, I'm done talking about that stupid Italian bozo.
That was funny.
No offense to Italians. You have great food, but this guy. Anyway,
man.
Butt punt, somehow not the stupidest play of the day, but The Dolphins punter
man
took the kick in his own end zone and kicked it off his own dude's butt.
Imagine feeling that.
And when it, yeah. Well, he was probably, he feels that. He's probably like, oh,
he's like, oh, crap.
And it almost cost him the game because they were punting away up four. And then they were only up two, giving the ball back to the Bills with a minute left in a two-point game. And
oh, my goodness.
The defense held. I got to say, the Dolphins look legit, which I can't even believe I'm saying that. I was such a doubter of McDaniel. I was such a doubter of Tua, of the defense, of how Tyreek Hill would be there. Like, they have shut me up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go into what we expected and what we didn't.
Yep.
You want to lead off?
Yeah, sure. What we expected.
We
Broncos
just went
suck.
One for each.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos suck. I did not really buy into them at the beginning of the year. I mean, everyone was like, Broncos are going to be number one. I did not see it. I mean, I knew Russell Wilson, but I still thought at least they're going to be third in the division. I thought, if anything, Chiefs, Chargers were going to compete for the number one. I thought that's how it was going to play out.
It seemed pretty obvious. Yeah.
I thought,
although
I'm
not
going to
lie, I was high on them. I thought all four of these teams were good.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I mean, I could even put this in that I was wrong, but I'll get into that. But I definitely thought Chiefs, Chargers, 100% all the way. I didn't buy into the Broncos. I didn't buy into the Raiders, which Raiders are 0-3 at this point too, and they've played. I mean, they've had some pretty they've had a bad loss against the Titans. They should have won that game, especially with
the
how
loss against the Cardinals was horrible.
Yeah, and I heard that there's reports that there's an internal meeting with Josh McDaniels
He's
afterwards.
Bad. He's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they don't hack it level, but
I think they. Wow. I think they screwed up a lot by not just hiring Rich Bisaccia as their head coach.
Yeah.
He was
great
as their
interim
head
coach. People are buying into him, too,
the
whole team.
What a surprise. The Packers special teams are now way better that he's their special teams coordinator.
Yep.
He's a good coach. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah. It's so crazy. I think... I don't even know.
It's close losses, too.
Yeah.
You lose by one possession to the
Chargers.
And
that's kind of where the coaching comes in.
I agree. You lose by one possession to the Chargers. And to be fair, Carr was dreadful in that game. You can't pin that all on McDaniel. You blow that lead to the Cardinals at home in overtime, which...
Especially when the Cardinals look that bad.
Right. The Cardinals, I don't think they're good. But
yeah.
And then you lose on a failed two-point conversion against the Titans. The Titans who lost to the Giants and got, to say they got embarrassed by the Bills is the biggest understatement of the year. The Titans are not good, and you still lost to them.
They made Monday Night Football not fun.
they did.
It was bad.
So did the Vikings. That was two blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Broncos still suck.
Man.
What I expected is Trevor Lawrence thriving. I didn't necessarily think he would shred the Chargers and beat them.
That was crazy.
I wouldn't go that far, but before the season started, he was my boom pick for quarterback. I'm high on Trevor Lawrence. I think that he and Lance, personally, obviously I'm biased, but I think he and Lance are going to separate themselves as the two best in this quarterback class, and I don't think the other four that are relevant are going to be able to compete with them. Since Lance is out for the year, I think that Sunshine is going to separate himself this year, and this was the first step in that. I think he played pretty well the first 2 weeks. I do. But this was incredible. He was dropping dimes. He was escaping pressure. He was reading the field. You can't ask for a better performance than what Trevor Lawrence just did.
And also, this kind of feeds into what I was saying earlier. A really good coach can make a pretty bad team look good.
You said I was wrong for the Doug Peterson hire. I was high on the Doug Peterson hire.
I'll be wrong on that one. I'll be wrong on that one.
Which is weird, because that was not one of the more confident things I've said. I just had a good feeling about it. And
it just makes you look smarter.
Trevor Lawrence. Maybe it's just Urban Meyer was that bad.
Yeah.
That could be it. But also, the Christian Kirk signing, it looks kind of good.
I mean, okay.
It was too much.
We argued that.
It was
a good signing, but
I mean,
it was just way too much.
A year, honestly, think about it in 4 years' time. Christian Kirk has had three excellent games so far. He is clearly Lawrence's favorite target. He's playing like a legit wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
4 years from now, when that contract is up, that contract is not going to be close to one of the biggest in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So was it an overpay for the time? Probably. Was it also huge to get a guy playing like a wide receiver one for your young quarterback on a long-term deal? I can't even say it was a bad move. Like the
yeah.
the Jaguars and Lions look awesome, and I'm rooting so hard for both of those teams. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, so I expected yeah. Trevor Lawrence to do good. Not quite that good, but you know, it makes me look good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What we didn't expect.
Yeah, for me, Chargers, Chiefs, and Bills, like especially
maybe
the Chiefs
top three teams in the league.
Yeah, those were, you know, they let me down, especially Chiefs and Bills. And what's your wager?
Yeah,
I mean the Eagles carried through. And I even said that before the Vikings game. I didn't even know. I was kind of like a little bit skeptical. I knew they were going to do good, but I'm like, Jalen Hurts, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, you put them in before we even saw them beat the Vikings.
I put them in like before that. And I was like, okay, this makes me way more confident they're going to destroy the Washington, you know, whatever, commies.
The commies.
But man, they let me down, especially the Chargers. Like, man. And Brandon Staley, he's... Didn't I say this? I'm like, he's going to get fired after this year.
I still don't think so.
I think he is.
I really don't.
I mean, if they have Justin Herbert and they're dropping games
Herbert was,
they have such a little amount of time
I
for
understand
Justin Herbert.
It was a terrible loss, but every team has a terrible loss every year. It's just how it is. The Jags played literally as good as they possibly could have. Like, I
don't know. They almost choked to the Raiders.
That's
who
true.
Played horrible.
That is true.
They lost to the Chiefs, which they should have beat that game. They should have won.
Yeah.
They got cheated a little bit, but they still should have.
Herbert was banged up. They had no Keenan Allen, and the Jags played a really perfect game. So, mm-hmm. I think this says more about the Jaguars than the Chargers. They are 1-2. Like they need to bounce back in a big way. But I don't know,
man.
I don't think Staley gets fired after this year.
Are the Jaguars the top of the AFC South?
Gotta be.
I think they are.
Colts are 1-1-1. Texans are 0-2-1. Titans are 1-2. Yeah. The Jaguars are running the South.
Yeah.
As we all expected.
And the Dolphins are running the...
yeah.
Who knew? Man.
Jeez.
My goodness.
Anyway,
but...
yeah. So what I did not expect is that Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers was going to be a snooze fest that I didn't even care about watching. It was,
I mean, at first it looked like the Packers are going to run away with it.
Oh yeah, yeah,
100%.
It was a boring game. Neither team looked particularly good, and that's all I have to say. Like it just sucked. I was so excited for that game. I think Tampa Bay is going to bounce back. I mean, Godwin will be back soon, probably. Evans will be back next week, and. I think they'll bounce back. I think that Mike Evans is a lot bigger deal than a lot of people realize. And I'm huge on Mike Evans. I think that he is severely underrated. So
mm-hmm.
I think that the Bucs will be back, but the big concern for them is the O-line.
Yeah.
That O-line is destroyed with injuries. And Tom Brady's incredible. Like, no one has ever navigated the pocket better than him, probably. But he's not mobile. And having a non-mobile quarterback with a bad offensive line, it's a recipe for losses. So we'll mm-hmm. see what happens. They play the Chiefs on Sunday night, which will be a big test for both teams. But
I mean, like, I don't want to touch on this, like, too much, but I think Aaron Rodgers, he kind of proved that, I mean, he could just do it with anyone. He had Christian Watson and Sammy Watkins out, and, I mean, he did pretty well. Like,
Dobbs
with his,
played. I don't even know how to say
Romeo,
it. Is it
Romeo
Dobbs?
Dobbs. I think it's Dobbs.
Dobbs played great.
He played really good. And, like,
so
there's some plays
Aaron
where
Jones.
He did pretty bad. Like, he whiffed on some plays, but, like, he's a rookie still. Yeah. Like, there's one play where he tripped his own dude, like, halfway through the route on accident. Like,
I mean, he's a mid-round rookie out of the Mountain West.
Yeah, like, you can't.
Being thrust into,
like, especially,
like,
a
premier
the
role
Bucks,
with Aaron Rodgers,
like,
against a great defense. Like, it,
yeah,
this is going to be growing pains.
It was pretty good.
But he played great.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the Packers looked ready to torch him. But, you know, after the Aaron
Bucks
Jones
defense
fumble,
stepped up.
After that fumble,
dude,
that would have.
Vita Vea.
Man, that was crazy.
350-pound defensive tackle Vita Vea drops back into coverage and then forces a fumble on a running back at the goal line. He
that
is a
crazy.
Freak. He's incredible.
Man, Aaron Jones, like, I love him. He's my favorite player. Like, you know, Josh Allen and all, but Aaron Jones, he's my favorite player. 33, got to respect double, you know.
Backup.
No, he's not.
He's the backup.
He's my favorite player. I've love him so much. But, man, him against the Bucks.
I need him to have a good game, dude, so I can trade him in fantasy. I'm tired of this dude.
Oh, my dude, really? Oh, my goodness.
Tired of him.
Make me mad.
He's the backup.
He's not. Dude, him against the Bucks is like Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers. Like, he... Man, he sucks against the
Packers. It's 3rd and 3, and they're running the ball. They're not running with Aaron Jones. They're running with A.J. Dillon. I think they trust him more on the ground.
I don't know.
They're giving him a lot of pass reps.
Aaron Jones is more the home run hitter than Aaron. Like,
I think Aaron Jones is better. I just don't think the Packers think that.
I don't know.
Anyway, man. Yeah. So that's what we didn't expect. We have forgot the cards, and I think it's too late by now. So we'll just do it next week. Let's talk about some early MVP candidates. How much time do we have?
We have quite a bit of time.
Some early MVP candidates. We got the top 5 odds listed up here. Number 1, we got Josh Allen at +300.
Expected.
He's incredible. He's had 3 excellent games, and they're going to win a lot of games. So makes sense. Jalen Hurts is 2nd at +600. And I'm saying that in a surprised voice just because of how good he's playing. I'm not surprised that he's 2nd. He absolutely deserves to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 2nd. Right behind him is a tie at 3 with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes at +700. And then Tua at +1400. What I think about this, Tua's not going to win MVP. He's not. He's just not.
Watch him win MVP now. I swear.
If Tua wins MVP, clip this now. If Tua wins MVP, I will never say a bad thing about Tua for the rest of my life. Ever. So, that's out there. But, yeah, Tua's, I don't think he's going to win MVP, but he's playing well. It's not a slight to him. It's just there's a lot of better quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if he deserves to be on here right now.
I feel like he's so off still.
I don't think he's off. I think he's playing great, but he's not playing at the level Lamar is playing at right now. I don't think he deserves to have the same odds as Lamar.
Yeah. Well, it's so strange because he threw his first interception of the year against the Colts, and it kind of made me sick to my stomach because he threw three picks against the Chargers, and those were he got copped out.
There's a couple.
Felt like he did that last year too, where there's so many times where he had by the refs, a ton.
That happens with a lot of quarterbacks. It
happens a ton now with Patrick Mahomes. And that's what kind of made me mad about Patrick Mahomes last year was I think he got bailed out a ton, and I felt like his mechanics were off still, and I think there's still something off with Patrick Mahomes.
We'll have to see. He's still a little bit adjusting to life without Tyreek, but we'll have to see. Jalen Hurts, man. A big part of the MVP in the NFL is about the story. Right? Yeah. So Rodgers last year, it's about the back-to-back, right? I think there's got to be a story. And I see a couple guys with a story here. I don't think Patrick Mahomes really has a story.
I don't think he's going to win it.
Tyreek Hill left and he's still good. Maybe, but I don't see it. Tua has a story. I just don't think that he can maintain the level of play required to win MVP. I think the top 3 here all have a story. Josh Allen, he was the favorite going into the year. He's gotten better every year. They're probably the best team in the league. I know they lost, but I still think they're the best. That Hyde injury, though, is a big deal.
Yeah.
He's out for the year. That is you can't even overstate how big of a deal that is. But, yeah, he has a story. Jalen Hurts absolutely has a story. This was a prove-it year for him. And, to decide if they're going to replace him, and he's in the MVP
conversation.
Wins.
Minnesota was supposed to be a really good team this year. And completely blew them out.
They probably are a good team. It's not even
Washington,
a slight to Minnesota.
Washington blew them out.
It wasn't even close.
And then
and the Lions
blew them out. They almost choked out by the end.
That wasn't the offense's fault.
Yeah,
yeah. Jalen Hurts has surpassed every possible expectation. He is fast and good as a runner, and he's a smart runner. He has good vision, but we already knew that. What we didn't know is that he was going to take 15 steps forward and become honestly, an elite passer.
Okay, even
he's not missing.
Even me, who was a really big Jalen Hurts fan, did not think he's going to do this good.
No one saw this.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Ridiculous.
He has legitimately become an excellent passer.
Man,
he has squashed every doubt about him so far, and I really hope he can keep this up. I hope this isn't a flash in the pan, and I think he can. I think that Devonta Smith is great, and having him as a 2 is perfect for him.
Well, I think A.J. Brown does wonders to that team.
It's a world of difference because he is a legit wide receiver one in every way.
And it's like
Devonta Smith is good, but I think he's much better suited as a wide receiver too, as we saw. Like, look at the game he had yesterday. Yeah, like,
you put your best corner on A.J. Brown because he's so big and he's so, like, he's such a big target.
He's fast.
That's what every single receiver, like, receiving core needs is a big, big receiver. You could throw it anywhere.
He's not tall, which is crazy to think about. He seems so tall.
He's huge. Like, he's like 6'1 or something. Like,
yeah. He's a big body.
He's huge. And then you got Devontae Smith, who he can make plays. But the thing is,
he's a great wide receiver, too. He's perfect for that role.
He's smaller, which doesn't work to his advantage because, like, you know, you can get like a, if you get a physical corner on him, he's kind of shut out. Like,
not necessarily. I don't know.
I think there's some games where
it can be difficult.
He showed out, but it makes it way harder. And if that like physical corner is on A.J. Brown and A.J. Brown can, you know, work around that, yeah. And then you got Devontae Smith, mm-hmm. and he is able to do his thing. Like,
and then Quez Watkins has breakneck speed at the wide receiver three slot.
Man.
And like, they're a legit team, and Jalen Hurts is silencing everybody. I really hope that this is real, and I believe it is. But
man,
and then I think Lamar has a story. Lamar, mm-hmm. I think Lamar has the best. Lamar or Hurts have the best story because Lamar already has one. Had a down year, had an injury year, and then this year doesn't get the contract extension. So he goes, watch this, and goes out, and every game he plays, the price is going up for Baltimore or whatever team signs him,
mm-hmm.
because even the biggest Lamar haters can admit that he's playing incredible. And
yep.
Yeah, I would say that those three, I think Josh Allen, strictly play-based, should be the favorite. I think if you include everything and how the NFL works story-wise, I think Hurts and Lamar are the two front runners right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the weird thing is that everyone keeps on saying, they're like, oh, the Bills are going to win a ton of Super Bowls. You know, Josh Allen's going to win a ton of MVPs. And that could kind of work to his – or, like, go to his disadvantage because everyone's like, oh, well, Josh Allen's probably going to win it next year. And then they just keep on pushing it off. And then the end of the season –
I can see that, yeah.
Oh, he doesn't have it – like, kind of like Drew Brees. Like, oh, Drew Brees, yeah, he's really
successful.
His
expectations are so high. And he's still surpassing them, mm-hmm. but, like, when a guy – when the two guys played at an equal level,
yeah, like
if they played an equal level and one had high expectations, one had low, people are going to talk more about the guy with low expectations every time. So,
like, I think
that's
it works to his, it doesn't work to his advantage. Where an average game for Josh Allen, it does worse to him than an average game for like Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson.
For sure,
like,
yeah,
because he has such high standards and he's on the, you know, the best team probably. Like,
suffering from success.
Yeah, like, who do you think is going to win? Like, if you just had to pick one name right now, who do you think is going to win it? Like,
as of right now, who I think will win MVP?
Yeah, like at the end of the year.
Do you have yours?
I'm between two names, but I think I'm going to pick one, and it's going to be, I think you kind of, I don't know. Do you want me to go first then?
You go.
Okay, we all know I want Jalen Hurts to win. Big Jalen Hurts fan, but I don't know. I'm thinking Lamar's probably going to win it.
I was going to say Lamar.
Okay, then I'll go Jalen Hurts then.
Okay, yeah.
I'll go Jalen Hurts. But I don't know. I have a stink. Like, I have a small feeling.
The two guys were shutting each other up about.
I know. It's so funny because, you know, he was arguing
Our first
Lamar
episode
Jackson.
Was Lamar Jackson.
I was arguing Jalen Hurts. And
my whole argument last year was like Jalen Hurts is what Lamar haters think he is.
This is like a boat race.
And at that time, I think it was true. But Jalen Hurts is just—he's playing amazing. Like, and all credit to him. Like, I'm rooting for him.
It's crazy. It's like a horse race. Like, where they're going.
As much as I doubted his ability, I was never rooting against him. Mm-hmm.
But man,
anyway,
this is crazy. But
yeah. So on to what's your wager?
Woo! All right,
our game segment of the day.
Yep.
The current score is 3 for Adam, 2 for me. He won the wager game last week, which was Packers-Buccaneers, and that put him at 3, and then Kansas City and the Bills choked for him on the locks. I lost the wager game, which knocked me to 0, but my locks of the Bengals and the Ravens both won, so I'm back up to 2.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we are going to run it back with the Bucs. We're going to go the Chiefs and Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football as the wager game, and I'm taking Tampa Bay again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they don't burn me twice in a row, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay for 2 points, and I have 3 locks this week. I have the Chargers over the Texans, which if the Chargers lose to the Texans after being 1-2.
I don't know if I'm that confident in them anymore.
They just can't. Chargers over Texans. I'm going to take the Lions over the Seahawks. I believe in the Lions a lot. I think that Seattle's cooked. I think Seattle got the one win this year they actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't care anymore.
Right.
That's the only win they needed.
And this one is a risk, and I just added it last second. I'm going to take the Raiders over the Broncos as a lock. I'm going to take the—
That was
going to
be the argument for
I'm
a
going
game.
To take—
That was a wager game.
Yeah. I'm going to take the 0-3 Las Vegas Raiders over the Broncos. I'm going to do it. I just don't see any way that this team starts 0-4. And they're at home. I think they just need a bounce back. And I believe in Carr enough to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to, honestly. So, yeah. Tampa Bay for two. Chargers, Lions, Raiders.
Okay. For me, I picked Chiefs. I'm going to wager 3 points for that. Feel confident in that one. For locks, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go. I'm going to go with my whole reliable. I think I'm going to go Packers over Patriots. And I think that's it. I'm just going to go quick.
Just one?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to do one.
Fair.
Pull you for the last couple weeks. And I don't know. Maybe, you know what? Let's put Cardinals in there. I think Cardinals over Panthers. But,
probably a good pick.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of hard to
I wanna
look over these ones.
Before I...
I mean, some of these, it's like you think they're going to win, but you don't know for certain, and it's kind of risky, but...
I mean, you never know for
yeah,
certain.
Yeah, exactly.
This league is just insane. Where is New England? Am I an idiot? Is Mac Jones going to play?
I don't think so. High ankle sprain.
He has a high ankle sprain?
We could talk about that next game, next time. We're kind of running out of time a little bit, but...
Okay, yeah. I'm adding the Packers.
Okay, sounds good.
So I have four locks.
Well, right. That's about all the time we have for today. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, everything, Sports and Stuff Show. If it's not Sports and Stuff Show, it's SNS_show, and that should just only be on Twitter. But yeah, thank you for listening. We'll see you later this week.
Peace.